be according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
I think I've got that on nail. Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. It's good to have the chance to speak to you. Hopefully what I have will be something that's beneficial for you. This is something I've used this outline as an invitation before, so you got the Cliff Notes abbreviated version. I'll hopefully be able to expand on that a little bit more this morning, though. I forgot to tell Barry, but my dad is scheduled for back surgery this Tuesday morning. I think this is his fifth back surgery, so if you would remember him as he has that surgery Tuesday morning. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to start in Genesis 6, and we'll eventually get to the passage that Brother Allen read, but in Genesis chapter 6, we're going to start out by looking at Noah. And, you know, we see from this passage that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But we're going to begin reading in verse 5 and down through verse 7 to start with. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. So we see at this point in time that God is displeased with the world. He's displeased with what he had created. Man that was in the world, there was wickedness continually at this point. So as he looked at it, it said he was grieved, and he decided that he was going to destroy. But we read verse 8, and we find some encouraging words about one man that was living at that point in time. In verse 8, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah, even though God was displeased with most of mankind at this point in time, we see that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, why Noah? What was it about Noah? Why did God find, or why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord and not everybody else? And what does that mean for us in this day and time as well? So, to start with, let's just look at some of the reasons that we can see that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Go on to verse 9 now, and let's read verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. First, it says that Noah was a just man. He was a just man. Some translations there say that he was a righteous man. So Noah was just. Noah was righteous. And that likely just refers to the fact that as Noah lived from day to day, that refers to the fact that he lived a good moral life in relation to God and what God wanted him to do. The second phrase there says that he was perfect in his generations. Some of the passages use there that he was blameless. Not that he was sinless. Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. So it wasn't that Noah was sinless, but it says that he was blameless. There were no just blatant faults that you could see with Noah. Again, he was a man with moral integrity living amongst all these people that God was displeased with. The last phrase it says there in verse 9, it says that Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. If you flip back to Genesis chapter 5 and in verse 24, maybe Noah was imitating Enoch. In Genesis 5 and verse 24, it says there that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. You know, and you can go on down, and after Enoch was Methuselah, and then Lamech, and then Noah was Lamech's son. So you're not far away from Enoch. Maybe Noah here was imitating Enoch in the fact that he walked for God, or walked with God. What did it mean to walk with God in that day and time? You know, let's look at a few things that we could see, you know, that people were doing in that day and time that maybe Noah was doing that would be considered walking with God. Look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. In Genesis 4 in verse 26, it says, "And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And then men began to call on the name of the Lord." So maybe one of the things Noah was doing that he walked with God was he was calling on the name of the Lord. Early in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. In Genesis 4, 3 and 4, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." So we can see from the story of Cain and Abel that there had to be some kind of instruction about offering some sacrifice to God. We can see from there and from further things in Hebrews, maybe Noah was doing the same thing. Maybe he was offering sacrifices to God in the sense that he said he is one that has said to be walking with God. Another thing that we can see about Noah during this time frame is on a couple of occasions it says that Noah was doing according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah did all according to all that the Lord commanded him. Look at Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 22. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. One of the times it said this, it says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him." So he did. Also in Genesis 7 and in verse 5, same thing. "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." So maybe Noah was finding grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was doing all that the Lord commanded him to do. Well, why was he doing all that the Lord commanded him to do? I think Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 gives us a little insight on that. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." So why was Noah doing all that the Lord commanded him? Maybe it was because of his faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, did these things. So Noah did all that was commanded of him by the Lord. And Hebrews 11 says that he did all of that because of his faith. A fifth thing that Noah did that maybe helped him find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2 in verses 4 and 5. Says there, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." So 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 refers to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Well, we know that he lived a righteous life because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But part of his living a righteous life was proclaiming the need for the others to be righteous. He was a preacher of righteousness. He lived in obviously a very ungodly world at that point in time, but that didn't stop him from proclaiming the need for all to be righteous. So there's five reasons why Noah may have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, what about us today? You know, do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? One that I would start with is just because we all face the promise of the end of the world and what's going to take place at the end of the world. The passage that Brother Allen read there in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 here. Peter reminds us that, you know, in Noah's day, the world was destroyed there by the flood, by water. Well, he tells us here it's going to be destroyed at some point in time upon Jesus' return. I'm going to read starting with verse 3. You know, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Just as in Noah's day it was destroyed with water, we see it's going to be destroyed again, this time with fire, when upon Jesus' return. And what does verse 14 say? In view of the promise that's going to happen, verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know, some of these same words that were used with why Noah was saved there when the flood took place. So basically, we can see that we also need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Think about when that time comes for us. We don't know when that time's going to come for us, you know. We don't know when our physical life is going to end. We don't know if Jesus is going to return today or tomorrow or in the near future. But when that time does come for us, do we not want to be found? Do we not want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? If that time comes for us and we don't find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we're going to be in the same fate as those that were not on the ark. We're going to be just like those that were left outside the ark when the flood came. So, since we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, what do we need to be doing? How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Well, just like Noah, number one, we need to be just in his sight. We need to be found being just. And the good thing is we have the good news of the gospel that shows us how to do that. It shows us that God sent his Son so that we can be just, so that we can live a righteous life, so that we can be forgiven of our sins, and ultimately we can be just in the sight of God. Look to Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So, the good news for us is Christ did come and He shed His blood so that we can have the forgiveness of sins and so that we can be just in His sight. Well, who's this available for? You know, the blessing is available for all. It's available for all who will follow His will. Look to Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Romans 3, verses 23 to 26. You know, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory, but we all have access to the fact that Christ died for us and we have forgiveness of sins through that. So if we are just, you know, being justified, we can have peace with God. Romans 5 and verse 1, you know, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 that we read just a minute ago, you know, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, we need to be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So we need to be just in His sight. We need to take the opportunity that He has presented to us to have the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. A second thing we need to do, just like Noah, is we need to be perfect in our generation. We need to be perfect. Again, we're not going to live perfectly, but we need to be complete. We need to be mature. We need to be everything that God requires of us to be. And if we fall short of that, He's made provisions that we need to do. There's provisions for us to do if we fail in being complete and mature and everything that God requires of us. And we need to take care of those provisions that He set forth when we don't live up to the standard that we need to. But again, God's provided all of the necessary elements for us to live that complete life, that mature life, that perfect life. Look to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. God has provided all the necessary elements for us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one of the elements He's provided for us is He sent His Son to shed His blood to die on the cross for our sins. Another thing that He's presented us that we need to be perfect is He's presented us with the Word of God. Look to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He's given us the Word of God that will help us to be able to be complete, to be mature, to be everything that He wants us to be. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God is providing these things we need. He provided the blood that was shed so that we can have forgiveness. He's provided the word that gives us everything that we need. In verse 17, it says everything we need so that we can be complete. We can be thoroughly equipped for everything that we are faced with. Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 17. Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 17. You know, there's the strength of the Spirit that we have to help with our struggles. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Also, there's the providence of God. You know, and I don't know exactly how all of that works, but there is the providence of God that that does work. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3 says there, the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. So the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory, after you have suffered a while, perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. So, you know, we need to be perfect in this sense and live the most complete and mature life that we can, and we need to take advantage of the provisions if we don't live up to that standard so that we can always be found in a good standing with God. A third thing that we need to be doing, just like Noah, is we need to be walking with God. We need to walk with God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read there verses 17 through 20. We can't walk like the rest of the world walks. If we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we can't walk as the world walks. Verse 17 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ. You know, if we're going to walk with God, we can't be walking as the rest of the world walks. It requires us to walk as some of the verses that we can see in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is how we need to be walking. Look at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So we got to walk being followers of God, and we've got to walk in love, it says, just as Christ walked in love, just as Christ loved us and did what He did because of that. Drop down to verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we need to walk as children of light. We need to walk, as verse 9 says, in those things that would be considered the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, things of righteousness, things of truth. We need to avoid what it says in verse 11. We need to avoid the unfruitful works of the darkness. So we need to walk as children of light if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Drop down to verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we need to walk as wise. It says, don't walk as the fools, but walk as one that's wise. Redeem the time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the way we need to be walking. So if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we need to be walking with God and not walking in darkness, not walking as those of the world walk. Well, if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, we need to do all that the Lord commands us. Just like it was said about Noah that he did all that God commanded, we need to be doing all that God commands if we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 20. Matthew 28, I'm just going to read 18 through 20 to get the whole thought. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We must do all that the Lord has commanded. We've got to observe all of the things that He's commanded. I think the point's been made here before, you know, living the life that God wants us to live is not a buffet. I like that, I'm going to do that. I like that, I'm going to do that. I don't really want to do this, so I'm just not going to do. You can't just pick and choose what you do and what you don't do. You've got to observe all the things that He commanded us to do. You can't just pick and choose which ones you want to do. And again, we said Noah did all of that. I knew I was going to say Moses before the end. Noah did this because of his faith. Well, we need to be doing all that God commands of us because of our faith. It'll show the living faith that we need to have. Look to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we need to be observing all the things God commands of us because of our faith. James 2 and verse 17 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And then in verse 24 of James chapter 2, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So we need to let our faith be causing us to follow that up with the works that we need to be doing in terms of all that God has commanded us. Finally, what do we need to do to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? We need to be preachers of righteousness as well. Just like Noah was, we need to be preachers of righteousness. Look to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So we need to be proclaiming the praises of Jesus to those around us as we live from day to day. One way to do that, we might get some guidance from that from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, just by the way we live our lives, we might be able to proclaim the praises. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we need to be preachers of righteousness. We need to be letting the example that that we live, the example of our lives as we live from day to day, being something that's good that people are seeing as they go around us. Back to 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 to close. If we want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, just think about this passage one more time. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So if there's anyone here this morning that's never rendered obedience that needs to, there you have the opportunity, or if there's someone here that has and you need to make correction of something, you can make that known as well as we stand and sing.